Welcome to the Rebranded Teacher Podcast. My name is Lauren Fulton. I'm a full-time teacher author and seller on Teachers Pay Teachers, and I help other teacher entrepreneurs grow their TPT businesses in a way that's purposeful and sustainable. So if you're looking for actionable step-by-step ways to grow your business, you're in the right place. Let's get started. If you've been wondering how to use your email list to make sales on Teachers Pay Teachers, but you feel a little bit awkward or weird sending that formal sales email because you don't want to sound salesy, well, we have a treat for you today. Melissa Seideman is an email marketing expert, and she's going to be talking about how to write sales emails to send to your email list, what kind of sales emails you should be writing, how often you should be sending these out, what they should look like, and she's going to be giving some practical examples of those in today's podcast. So I want you guys to go ahead and meet Melissa.
Hey, Melissa, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to have you back on the podcast. We had you last year, and I think we talked about crafting sales emails, which was a really amazing episode. And so I'm excited to have you back. You want to start by telling everybody a little bit about you and what you do?
Sure. My name is Melissa Seideman from Not Another VA. We specialize in done-for-you email marketing services and also DIY. So people want email support that just can't afford done-for-you services.
I love it. So you are going to be one of the presenters at an upcoming conference with us, Teacher Seller Summit. Our session is going to be all about answering email marketing FAQs. So I thought it would be fun to just pose to you a bunch of frequently asked questions that we get on a regular basis.
Perfect. Sounds awesome.
Okay. So one of the biggest ones is about growing your list organically. We know that many times organic leads are going to be some of our best customers. So can you talk to us a little bit of the best ways to grow your list organically?
Yeah, I've seen clients have a ton of success with posting on social media and using the word, drop the word email or drop the word freebie or drop the word whatever. And then they have automated ManyChat, which is free to do, automatically DM them, whoever drops the word, I'm sending it to you right now in the DMs. And then you click your DM and get the link. And I've seen a lot of people have a lot of success with that. So having a reel that tends to go viral, get a ton of email subscribers that way. I think don't be afraid to show up in your stories and talk about a free resource, show it in action, and then put, if you want the freebie, click here. A lot of times I'm finding now clients are not wanting to go to the profile, click the link. It's like way more steps to do. Even in my own Facebook group, I like wrote, click the link above, but then I said, I'll send it to you if you write the word email. And even on the same post where I gave the link and I said, I'll send it to you an email, everyone was commenting email, and then I just would send them the link. So it's just like unbelievable. Like, I think people are just really busy right now, but that's a simple way just to send them the email. And I created a simple notepad. I didn't use ManyChat, but I used a simple notepad on my phone. I just copied the same text. Great. Here's the link. Copy it, paste it right into their DMs, and then they're happy and they get personalized service.
That's crazy. But also extremely helpful to know, taking out just even what I wouldn't even call like a little step for the customer in that case. You're kind of taking off like a half step or a scroll or something like that. When it comes to utilizing those methods, how different lead magnets would you say a person needs to have? Because I think people hear that and they think, oh, well, real, like I'm going to need a completely different lead magnet. Is that the case? Or can we reuse the same one over and over again?
Okay. So I think I overwhelmed RTA last month when I showed them how many opt-ins I had, but I was like, I've been doing email marketing a really long time. So what I'm telling my clients is you should have at least 5 key opt-ins. Like there's no real number, but I like the number 5 for some reason, but make sure they're tailored to, like Amy Porterfield says, your ideal customer avatar. If you're giving like a general like participation handout, let's say as an opt-in, that could be a kindergarten teacher opt-in, that could be a fifth grade teacher that opts in. You want to market your resources to your exact niche because you don't want someone on your list who's not in your niche area. So if you know you market to third to fifth grade math, make sure that resource is third to fifth grade math that you are giving to your ideal customer avatar, like Amy Porterfield says.
But maybe concentrate on 5. And would you say that if somebody's just starting out, that maybe 2 or 3 when they're first getting going and learning is plenty, right?
Yeah, 2 or 3 is great when you're first learning out, but then eventually you'll realize I need to make more and tailor to my audience and put one on a blog post. So maybe you create one, but like, don't overstress yourself out. That's often too what I sell to clients. Take a bundle that you have and pull 2 or 3 pages out, make that a freebie, and then upsell the bundle. Like, you don't need to stress yourself out. Oh my gosh, I need to create a brand new product for this freebie. take something you already have that could work as an individual standalone product and pull it pages out and make it a resource that you can put in your library for your freebie.
I love that. So we're saying focus on sharing on social media. And when you're sharing, take out as many steps as possible for them so that they can get it really quickly. And then something else that I just heard you mention when you were talking about this is you just said blog posts. So maybe even some blog posts too that would lead to that individual lead magnet.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. And every blog post should always have an email opt-in in it. And I recommend putting one at the bottom and then one in the middle. And it could be something as simple as a button that clicks here to go to your opt-in. Embedding it on your site works, but I recommend not always using the email provider as the URL, like, because if you have to go change them, if you ever switch providers. So make sure that blog post has it in the middle of the blog post and then at the bottom with a really good photo of the resource in action, and then they'll want to get on the email list.
I love it. Okay. There are a couple of questions today that I'm going to be asking that kind of refer to the changes that have happened in email marketing. Can you just start off by telling everyone what's happened this year that's made us have to kind of rethink our strategy a little bit?
So Google and Yahoo basically is trying to cut back on people who spam emails. So you may have noticed you've been getting less emails in your inbox. There's certain requirements to send an email. You need to have an easy unsubscribe link. It needs to be a paid email address. Google and Yahoo basically cracked down. So people were often mad at Flowdesk or MailerLite. Like, it's not their issue. They're just trying to address Google and Yahoo making these changes. So essentially what it is they're trying to prevent people from spamming people's inboxes. So they want to make sure you're, one, a reputable business. One way to do that is have a paid email address. You can no longer use a free gmail.com or a yahoo.com. It needs to be a paid email address. You also have to have your domain authenticated, which is a bunch of backend jargon, DNS records and all kinds of stuff. I personally hired somebody to do it because it was way over my head and I didn't want to mess it up. So I hired someone to do it for myself, and they authenticated my domain on the back end, verified my paid email. And that's something, two things that have to be done. And then another thing I recommend is if you use that paid email, start sending and receiving emails. I can't tell you how many clients are having a mistake of not even sending emails from that paid email address. Like, you need to start telling Google and Yahoo that you're not a spammer. So start sending emails from that paid email address, start resending emails from that paid email address. And then the little hack that I figured out too that I want to tell listeners is every email that goes out from your email provider needs to be from that paid email address. And Flowdesk, if you use Flowdesk, your workflows, you need to physically go through your workflow and edit every single email address in the workflow to be the paid email address. Because I've had two clients have the issue they were getting reported as spam because it was going from the free email address, not the paid one, even though the default was the paid one.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That, you would think that'd be something that Flowdesk would have figured out and kind of worked out on their own, but that's super important to know. With those changes, obviously, like, we don't want to mess anything up. Like, we don't want to be sending from the wrong email address. We don't want to be labeled as spam or anything like that. But how does that play into sender reputation? Because yeah. I know a lot of people were like, well, everything restarts is what I kept hearing, was like, things are like restarting. Is that true? Did your sender reputation just kind of start over with these changes, or was switched from like a free email address and we're just beginning with a paid email?
I had a few clients who went from a free email address to a paid email address, and then they were all of a sudden going to spam boxes because their paid email address was being treated as a brand new email. So you need to build up that sender reputation, and you can do that in a number of ways. Make sure every provider you use has double opt-in on. Why you want that double opt-in on is that it's telling your email provider that you are not spam. It is forcing the customer to go to their inbox, confirm the email, and tell their email provider you're not spam. And it's also making sure that it's a real email address joining your email list. I can't tell you how many people I clean emails for that have 10,000 people on their list that are not, those are cold subscribers. Like, how many people are not confirming their email list? It's just a simple way to make sure they're a real email. Because I could type in any email address and I want into that box to get the freebie. But if double opt-in's not on, it could be a bad email. It could be a false. It could be a bounce, like all kinds of different things. And then I had a number of clients who had to start building up their sender reputation. So if you notice your spam rates getting higher in Flowdesk or other providers, or if your open rate's going down, segment your list is what I recommend doing, making the list smaller. So let's say I had one client who had 75,000 people on her email list, and her open rate went from 60% to 20%. So she was freaking out. What I told her to do was filter her list down to the people who opened the email in the last 30 days. So it's just the really like a hot list of who's opened the email. And for a month, we sent only emails to that hot list of, it was probably right around around 15,000 people who actually opened in 30 days. And so we only sent it to that email. Her email list numbers, open rates went back up. And now we started slowly adding in to the whole subscriber list.
So what I'm hearing, number one, is that if you already had a sender reputation, it's not like your sender reputation started over.
No.
We're now sending from a new domain for the first time. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say I'm brand new. I don't have an email list at all. What would you say to, in order to start helping that sender reputation, you're saying keep double opt-in, keep that turned on. And I'm assuming organic traffic at that point, like I probably don't want to be doing any paid ads or collaborative events or anything like that. I just want to focus on organic traffic for a little while and get that sender reputation. Is that correct?
Yep. And consistency sending emails. That's another huge part of it. If you go from not sending emails in 6 months and then all of a sudden sending emails, you're going to get a huge spam rate and it's going to get flagged. So make sure you're consistently sending emails too.
If I've been consistently sending emails, let's say someone's listening and they've like neglected it for a little while. Is there something that they can do to kind of go to who their hot list was before and try segmenting that way and try emailing them first, or just focus on emailing the people who are brand new and coming in and then go back to emailing their entire list? What should you do there?
I would probably do two filters. I would filter someone who's joined in the last 30 days and only email those people in the last 30 days. And then people who maybe opened your emails in a certain amount of days ago. So let's say it's been a while. I probably would, let's say you've neglected it for 6 months, I would probably just email the people who've joined the last 30 or 60 days. And so it's going to be a very small segment, but the idea is that you're going to warm them up, tell your sender you're not a spammer, and warm up your list.
Perfect. That's super helpful. So on that, we're going to stay in that kind of same vein for a little bit. You know, let's talk about list cleaning, because I want to get rid of those people, obviously, who haven't been opening lists. How often should I be cleaning my list? Let's talk about that for a little bit.
I used to take it very personally when I had to clean my list. Like I'd be like, I worked so hard for those 200 subscribers. Some clients I clean lists for, we're cleaning 25,000 people off their list. Like you work so hard to get those 200 subscribers or 2,000 subscribers or 10, 20,000, like whatever it is. And it's really hard to say, I'm going to remove them. But the reality is they're not your people. If they're not opening your emails, they're not clicking your emails, they're not going to your website, they're not going to your shop, they're not buying from you, they're not your people. And that's often how I have to phrase it. And I usually, my husband still is this point where he's trained to say, when I like go, I'm cleaning my list right now, he knows I get upset. He's like, they're just not your people. They're not your people. So just don't take it personally. Not people leave teaching, people change grades, people change subjects. Like you just can't take it personally. People retire. Clean your list is important for a number of reasons, but it remains, it's going to help your sender reputation. It's more important now than ever to clean your list. So I do it for clients every 90 days. Every 90 days, I clean people's email list. I have it on like a task on my Asana. So you could put a calendar reminder or put in your paper planner every 90 days. And every 90 days, I send a series of breakup emails saying, this is your last chance. The subject lines are, my first subject line is, are you there? And I put the first name of the person. So I'll say like, are you there, Lauren? Are you there, Melissa? And the last one I say for sure, this is our last email. So I'm very clear, this is our last email. And that usually has the highest open rate, which is kind of interesting. You just need them to open the email and then click it. So the idea is you try to get them to click the email to stay on the list, depending on which provider. So ConvertKit, you can get them to click the email to stay on the list. Flowdesk, they simply just need to open and then they'll be out of the cold subscriber filter. So they go through a series of emails and then I give a solid week in between sending the emails and when I clean the list, just to give them a chance to open them because some people check them really late. I've even had clients check emails a month after the email went out and they buy the product a month after a sale. It's crazy to me. So give them time to open it, wait a week, and then filter again, clean the list of people who did not open or click, depending on which provider you have, and then you remove them. And it's sad to say, I just have some clients who like to download the list and then retarget them later on. So let's say I'll target them again in September and try to add them back. But if they didn't open it the first time, there's a good chance they're not going to be on your list.
Okay, so that's really helpful. Along the same lines of what we were talking about earlier with sender reputation, when we're sending emails specifically to a group of people who historically have not been opening our emails, what does that do with our sender reputation then?
Yeah, so this is hard to do. I had people who were trying to clean their list right as February 1st happened. And it actually froze their list and shut it, like froze their list. Flowdesk gave them a bunch of warnings. So like, I think the important thing is if you are emailing consistently, it's important to clean your list. If you're not emailing consistently, you don't want to just send breakup emails all of a sudden. And then I think maybe in that case, if you haven't been sending a long time and then all of a sudden you're going to send an email, send one email and just give them a chance to open it. And then I would just move forward and remove.
What I'm kind of hearing you say is if you have a healthy sender reputation, have to worry too much about sending these breakup emails because your sender reputation is already pretty well established then.
Yeah. I had some clients like literally caught in the February 1st deadline. They were cleaning their list right before, right after it. And their accounts got frozen by Flowdesk. They got flagged. So I told them how to fix it, how to get out of, I called it Flowdesk jail. And Flowdesk sends you a warning. I even had one client, their account was completely shut down. So my lesson learned from that whole experience is every 6 months, put a calendar reminder on Google Calendar. Every 6 months, you should be downing and loading your email list because you own your list. But your provider could lock your account and then you have no access to your emails. So every 6 months, I would literally download the spreadsheet and just save it on your computer. Every 6 months, remove the old list and then update the new list and save it. Because you own it, you can change providers, but you can't, if the Flowdesk shuts your account down, you can't get them back. It's crazy.
Wow. Okay. That's really helpful to know. So let's talk about something a little bit more fun. I feel like that whole topic, it kind of feels in terms of like cleaning your list, take people off your list, worrying about your sender reputation score. I feel like that's like the least fun part. That's fine. It's also something that's really necessary to talk about because at the end of the day, we all want to be doing things right. And we want to make sure that the people that we're paying to have on us, particularly if we're using a service like ConvertKit, let's talk about increasing open rates. So we've got a great sender reputation score. Our list is clean. Now we want to get those people to actually open our emails. Can you give us some good tips for getting people to open emails?
First tip I always recommend is a welcome sequence. You should have some sort of automated welcome sequence go out to your providers to welcome them to your business, welcome them to your brand, introduce them to your brand. Some people are particular. Do they want one welcome sequence one, or do they want a series of different ones depending on the opt-in? Depends on how much time you have and how much you want to dedicate to it. But either way, they should go through a welcome sequence, no matter if they go through one or different ones, depending on the lead magnet. That helps them narrow down, do I want to stay on your list? Because if I don't want someone on my list that is not my ideal customer avatar. So what happens if I joined your list and I'm a kindergarten teacher, but I teach third grade math, they're going to figure out from that welcome sequence, oh, this is not the right email list for me. I'm going to unsubscribe. And I would rather them do that then rather than stay on the list for a long time, cost me a lot of money. Okay. So welcome sequence is the number one thing I would recommend doing. I would also recommend consistently sending emails. So you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to try this Friday for 7 a.m. and then this Monday for 6 a.m. and then this Friday for 10 a.m., like pick a time, pick a day and try to stick with it. Test out which one works best for your audience and then try to figure out what works. You can survey your audience and like give them a Google form and see which one they like better and then see which times and dates work. I try to think earlier in the week works better. Teachers are checking out on the weekends and a lot of your audience probably will agree if they're still in the classroom, they're not checking emails over the weekends anymore. And even my kids' teachers are doing the same thing. So I'm trying not to email on the weekend, email early in the week so they can prep for the week ahead, or that's what I try to do.
Yeah. Consistent with the time that you're sending out and test out a variety of times. Okay. So let's talk about your session at Teacher Seller Summit. Can you give us a teaser? What are some of the questions that you're going to be answering in your session?
I got asked so many good questions. I asked in my Facebook group what questions they had. And I had easily 40 people submit questions. And it was crazy, like pulling them apart. I was like, oh, this is such a great presentation. So because it was kind of fun and different. And I think they're excited to see the questions get answered in the session. Mm-hmm. So I got asked, how do I increase my open rates? How do I increase my click rates? I got asked, what do I do if I haven't been consistent with email marketing? I got asked, what else? How do I clean my list? That was another question. I got asked, what else did I get asked? There was 10. I made 10. So out of the 40. And I think a lot of people are just wondering, someone asked about link triggers. So based on a click, how do you get people to buy based on clicking a link and targeting that one link click?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that'll be a good one. All right. Well, I'm super excited for your session. And we're going to put a link to join us for Teacher Seller Summit down inside of the description. Tell us where we can find you because I know you're in a lot of places. You're doing a lot of incredible things in the email marketing world.
Thank you. You can literally just Google Not Another VA and everything comes up in Google because it's SEO optimized. So my blog will come up, my Instagram will come up, Not Another VA, my Facebook group comes up, but my website is notanotherva.com/everything is my everything page.
Love it. And you have a VA service for marketing. So you'll write emails for teacher authors, but you also have a membership. You want to tell them a little bit about your membership?
Yeah. So we write weekly emails and biweekly emails for clients. So some of us, people book us for services, which are, I'm not going to lie, pretty pricey. So yeah. I realized that a lot of people just wanted support, but they can't afford the full ticket price of hiring email marketing specialists every month. So I created a bunch of memberships, actually. This is my third one this year, which is kind of crazy. So yeah, so I ran with it. I created Email Club. Email Club is 4 email templates done for you. And then a bonus, you get a bonus added to the email club, and it's 4 emails done for you. You can use the base of the email and then just change certain things and put your personality in. If you want to use the code free, if you sign up for email club, you can get a free month free and just try it out. There's no commitment. So you can sign up for a month, cancel in a month, or sign up for 6 months and cancel in 6 months. There's no commitment to it, but you try the code free, you can join that. And then I also created Email Mastermind, which is basically like 1 hour a week dedicated sessions just for email support. So if you want like one-on-one email support, that's a small fee of $30 a month. And then a private Facebook group just for email marketing questions where they're answered every single day by me or my team member, Lindsay. And the other one I created is, what is the other one? Oh my gosh, why am I blanking? Grow your list, which is, I got the idea from a collaboration. So collaborations no longer work with email marketing. You can't just join a bundle and then share the CSV file anymore with the Google and Yahoo changes. So I did Grow Your List and it's been pretty successful. It's been pretty booked out. We do K-2, 3-5, ELA, special ed, and speech. And we put the promotions together, the emails together, the landing page together, the emails, the swipe files, and the graphics, and it's done for you. So that's, you could join for 1 month, you can join for 6. I have some people who have been with us since June of last year.
That's awesome. Real quick, because I actually missed this question. You mentioned it just now, the collab events. Can you talk to us a little bit more? Sharing this, all of that is not going to work, like everyone joining through one. Can you talk about that for just a little bit and share what type of collab events to avoid? Because I think that's really important.
And I can tell you, I fully participated in it. I was a participant. I was one running it. Like, you can no longer join a collab event where you get together with a bunch of people, you create one landing page, and you'll get 8 freebies or 10 freebies all at once from just joining one form. And one form joins the one email list. And then you share the files with everybody. And now you have a list of 8,000 people. And those were great because you got 8,000 different emails over one little promotion. You can't do that anymore because that is going to get your sender reputation marked as spam. So the only way it will work is if you do it, you could do it this way, is create one landing page or one PDF of all the freebies and literally tell people, click here to click each image to get the freebie. And then you have an image of each freebie that links to a landing page of Lauren's landing page or Brooklyn's landing page or Melissa's landing page, whatever it is. And then the PDF is, you can send out on social media, you can send it on email, and then people join the individual lists of which ones they want to opt into. That's the only way it will work in the future. So collabs are great and you can do it, but they have to join your own list. That's the difference.
I'm not going to say it stinks. I think it's probably a really good thing long term because you're probably going to get much higher quality of leads. I know I used to do this with, I would create a landing page and they could sign up. They could choose. This is Lauren's freebie. This is Brooklyn's freebie. And they could pick and choose which ones they wanted beforehand. And I always found that those leads did much better than the ones where it was like, okay, we're going to put everybody all in one pot, freebies, and you'll be on everybody's list. When the customer got to pick and choose, it seemed like they wanted to be a list they were going to be on and that they appreciated that rather than just being put on everybody's list. I think that overall, it's going to be really good. But I think at the same time, it's a little bit of a bummer because it's so much easier for the customer, going back to what we're talking about in the very beginning, where you're trying to even just remove like half steps for the customer to make that journey a little bit easier for them. It is a little bit more work on their part to sign up for different lists. But I think, you know, long term, it's still really effective.
And then I'm just going to add something that's totally random. Make sure your website, when you have a website, is optimized with your email list. Like, have a pop-up, have an email opt-in on every single page of your URLs, every single blog post on the side of URLs. I did an audit today. I do free audits for people and I did it on today and she didn't have, the pop-up wasn't her ideal client that she was trying to target. Like, make sure you're marketing to your ideal customer that you want, because like I said, you don't want a kindergarten teacher on a 3rd or 5th grade math.
I love that. If you have a website, make sure it's optimized to get people to join your email list by having pop-ups and different all across your website, targeting them with a lead magnet that is in line with your ideal customer or would appeal specifically to your ideal customer.
And the same thing, like when you give a new product, let's say on TBT, your terms of use page should have a freebie opt-in in it. But I've learned over time, I've had clients change email providers. One client changed 4 times different providers. Make sure your terms of use page has a freebie page that links to your website or a Canva page that you can edit if you ever change Flowdesk to MailerLite to ConvertKit. That's another thing I've really learned long term, because you don't want to be stuck with ConvertKit a long time. You don't want to be stuck with Flowdesk if you don't like it. So make sure your terms of use page links to your website or a Canva page that you can easily change the link.
I love that. Okay. Everything that you've said today has been super helpful. And I appreciate, as always, your expertise. And I cannot wait to hear your Teacher Seller Summit session. Again, the link to join us for Teacher Seller Summit is going to be down inside of the description. To see you there. Melissa, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. If you want to learn more from Melissa, there are several ways that you can learn more from her. Number one, she's going to be at the Teacher Seller Summit this summer, July 6th through the 9th. You do not want to miss it. You can find the link down inside of the show notes to get alerted when Teacher Seller Summit tickets go on sale. So you make sure and fill that out. You can also find her on her website, notanotherva.com, along with several other incredible resources. You can join her email list to get weekly tips for email marketing. And you can also join her during her email Power Hour support group each month. You'll find the links to all of that and more ways that you can connect with Melissa down inside of the description. Thanks so much for being here, you guys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to share it with a friend, and I will see you right back here next week. If you want to learn more and grow more with me, then you can find me inside of Rebranded Teacher Academy. Rebranded Teacher Academy is a low-cost monthly membership that gives you access to my entire course and content catalog, from courses for brand new TPT sellers like Selling 101 to more advanced sellers inside of Strategic Growth, Ditch the Overwhelm, a quick start library where you can pick any topic that you would like to learn more about, watch a short video, and then immediately implement what you learned with a corresponding workbook. But what RTA members tend to love most are the monthly challenge and strategy sessions, where every single month I give you step-by-step strategies that you can implement inside of your business in the form of a fun monthly challenge that helps you move your business forward every single month. If you want to learn more about Rebranded Teacher Academy and how you can become a member, you can find more about that down inside of the description. Thanks so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would love if you would share about it on social media and help other TPT sellers find it too. I'll see you right here next week.